179. I'm glad we're standing on the promises and not sitting on the premises. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. And we're going to sing the first, second, and the fifth. First, second, and the fifth of 179. Praise the Lord.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fears are saved, by the living word of God I shall prevail.
Amen. Standing on the promises of God. Everybody now.
Standing, standing. We're standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God on the fifth. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, ever standing, standing. We're standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, folks. We'll sing again after. I'm so glad that we've got a book full of divine promises that cannot fail. Amen. That you and I can claim each and every day of our life on earth. And oh, how we need to do that. We need to claim them regularly. The Word of God has all the answers, and God's promises never fail. Well, you may be expecting us to go to the book of Jude tonight, but we're not. We're not. We're doing our study in the Millennial Kingdom, making up for Sunday night. And the Millennial Kingdom tonight is part 16. Part 16. We're going to be looking tonight. We've completed our look at Israel in the kingdom. That took us 2 weeks. And boy, oh boy, there's so much concerning the elect nation in the kingdom. But tonight we're going to be looking at the Gentiles in the Millennial Kingdom. The Gentiles. All right, let's review. In week one, we saw our basis for the belief in a Messianic kingdom. Week two, we saw general characteristics of that kingdom. Week three, the government of the Messianic kingdom. We saw the Lord of the kingdom, King Jesus, amen, sitting on the throne. Week four, we saw the Jewish branch of that government and the Gentile branch. Week five, we saw Israel in the Messianic kingdom. And we looked at the four facets upon which that kingdom is based. And that is upon four unconditional covenants. Week six, we saw the first facet of the national, which is the national regeneration of Israel, based upon the new covenant. We saw the second facet in week seven, the national regathering of Israel. And that's based upon the land covenant, Palestinian. We saw in week eight, the third facet of their restoration is the total possession of the land, based upon the Abrahamic covenant. Week nine, we saw the fourth facet, the reestablishment of the Davidic throne, based upon the Davidic covenant, right? Week 10, we saw some characteristics of Israel's final restoration. Week 11, we saw the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Week 12, we saw the millennial temple of the Lord. Week 13, we saw the millennial system of priesthood and sacrifice. Week 14, we looked at the millennial river of the Lord. And week 15, we saw the millennial Jerusalem. Now, tonight, that brings us to our subject tonight, the Gentiles in the millennial kingdom. Go with me to Isaiah chapter number 11. We're going to lay a foundation here for our belief in Gentiles inhabiting the messianic kingdom and the role that the Gentile nations of the world will play during the 1,000 years. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 11. Look with me at verse number 4. Now, this passage here is speaking about a kingdom and a king who will rule in righteousness. Verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, that's Messiah, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. Notice, he's looking over the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Does that sound familiar? Revelation chapter 19. A sharp sword cometh out of his mouth, wherewith he smites the nations. Look at it. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now we know that's pointing to the great tribulation, the battle of Armageddon. We know that's pointing to the day that the King of Kings will come down to set up his kingdom. And he will slaughter the Antichrist and his armies before he sets up his kingdom. Verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf and also shall dwell with the lamb. What? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. Huh? And the calf and the young lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. What? I think I see a millennial kingdom being set up in verse number 6. Amen? 7. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, not on each other. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, that's a poisonous snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Beloved, think of it. The whole world will be full of the knowledge of the word of God. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the what? Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Now notice in verse number 10, so far it was all great talking about the mountain, the millennial mountain of the Lord, right, in Israel, in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden he shifts gears and says, hey, the Gentiles are going to be there too. And they are going to come from all over the world to Israel, to him whose rest shall be glorious. He is the ensign, the root of Jesse, of verse 10. Amen? Now, clearly here, we're told that the Gentiles shall seek after the millennial rest. Notice that. He's speaking of millennial rest of the Messiah. But who are they? Who are these Gentiles coming to Israel seeking after his rest? Listen, all the Gentiles who survived the judgment of the nations, remember we looked at that? For their treatment of the Jews during the tribulation period, they will be allowed into the kingdom. And they will repopulate the nations of the earth. They are the sheep Gentiles of Matthew 25. The goat nations were not allowed. They were destroyed there in Matthew 25 before the judgment of the king. It was the judgment of the nations, not the great white throne judgment, okay? The survivors of that judgment are these Gentiles who inhabit the kingdom because they had treated Israel aright during the tribulation period. Now, something I need to mention. That judgment of the nations is not a national judgment. I was mistaken for years thinking it was this China's not their communist, so they're not going to be allowed. It's not like that. It's an individual judgment for every person who lived during the tribulation period, on how that individual treated the Jews, not their pompous dictator, communist leader, okay? So keep that in mind. You'll have people from China, you'll have people from Iran in the kingdom who harbored the Jews and protected the Jews and fed the Jews during the tribulation period, okay? Now, because of their pro-Semitism, they will be admitted into the kingdom. And these are the Gentiles mentioned in verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 11. Okay, let's look at some things tonight concerning these Gentiles. First, they will be possessed by Israel and become the servants of the people of Israel. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Don't miss this. I said they will become the servants of the Jews during the tribulation. I'm sorry, during the millennial kingdom. Verse chapter 14, verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on who?
Jacob.
Now let me ask you a question. Has Jacob, that is national Israel, received mercy from God yet? Nope. No. They're in unbelief. Nobody in unbelief can attain God's mercy. You have to believe in his son, Jesus Christ. They have not. So they have not yet obtained mercy, right? Look at it. Verse 1. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. I wonder when that's going to happen. And the strangers, that's Gentiles during the millennium, the strangers shall be joined with them. And they, the strangers, Gentiles, shall cleave to the house of Jacob. The Jews are going to be the best friends a person can have during the millennium. They're going to love to have a Jewish friend, you know. And look at verse 2. And the people shall take them and bring them, that's the Jews, to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them, the Gentiles, in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids. Folks, I'm not making this up. This is what the Bible says. A lot of theologians don't like this. You know why? They don't understand that God has a special place for his elect nation during the 1,000 years. They don't understand that they being part of the, if they're truly saved, and part of the bride of Christ, they have a preeminent place above Israel in the kingdom, in the millennium. You know, there's, oh, you're putting the Jews above the church. No, I'm not. Are you kidding me? The church is the bride of Christ. We will rule and reign with him. The Jews will be ruled over and reigned by him. Look at this in verse 2. And the house of Israel shall possess them, the Gentiles, in the land of the Lord for servants and for handmaids. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were. And they shall rule over their oppressors. The Jews, the elect nation, will rule the world during this time period. All right. Secondly, tonight, concerning the Gentiles, they will receive righteous justice from the King Messiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 42. The Gentiles, will, like Israel, receive righteous justice from the King. Look at this in Isaiah 42. Look with me at verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear, no.
You got the wrong.
Oh, thank you. I'm on the right page, but the wrong verse. Thank you. Chapter 42, verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. Now, time out. Which elect is he speaking of? Is it the elect bride or the elect nation?
The elect nation.
Yes, it's the elect nation, Israel. My servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He, now this is Messiah. He came out of his elect nation, Israel. He shall bring forth what? Judgment to the Gentiles. Notice this. He will rule and give righteous judgment and justice for the Gentiles. When a man strives with another man, they have a debate, whatever it might be, bring it before the king. The king will judge righteously, right? Glory to God for that. Something else. Thirdly, they, the Gentiles, will receive the light of King Messiah worldwide. Look at chapter 49 of Isaiah. They will receive the light of King Messiah all over the world. It'll be universal. Look in chapter 49 at verse 5. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. As Messiah, bringing the elect nation back to the Father. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a what?
Light.
Light to the who?
Gentiles.
Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, that's Messiah, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Glory to God. Though men despise him today, there's coming a day when all peoples of the world will bow before this great king that we serve. I'm so glad of that. And his light will be universal during the millennium. To all the world, his light will shine. Something else. Fourthly, by the way, notice back, if you're still there, in chapter 49, look at verse 7 again. Notice that all kings of the Gentiles will fall down before him and worship him. Verse 7. Oh, yeah. These dictators today, they think there's some king on a throne and that they don't answer to nobody. They're going to bow the knee to my Savior during that time. Fourthly, they will come to pray at the millennial temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. Chapter 56 of Isaiah. Look with me at chapter 56, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Time out. Verse 2, whenever this time period is speaking of, the Sabbath is in effect. See that? The Sabbath is in effect. It can't be now because the Sabbath is not in effect for anybody today. This is the age of grace. So this is not talking about today. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. That's a Gentile. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them, the new covenant, even unto them, Gentile eunuchs, will I give in mine house and within my walls, that's Jerusalem, a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger. Now, who's the stranger? That's Gentiles, right? That's Gentiles, clearly. Look what he says, though. The sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, his name is Jesus, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, new covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain. Look at this. This is in Jerusalem, the mount, the millennial mount of the temple, and make them joyful in my house of what?
Prayer.
Prayer. You realize, folks, you're going to be able to go directly to the king's throne and bow down before him and make your petition known? Wow! How much more would we pray if we could do that now? But, folks, we do come boldly before the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 3 says, right? We do. We do come before his presence, just not bodily. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, speaking of Gentiles, shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for some people. No, for all people, right? This is, folks, listen to me. The Jewish temple was not for all people. It was for Jews only, unless you proselytized, right? And even then you couldn't go past the outer court, Gentiles. But this temple here, Gentiles are allowed in. This is not speaking about the Old Testament temple, nor the tribulation temple.
Okay, so in the Old Testament, the temple was built, and only Jews could go there, and the nation right. of Israel was a symbol of all believers coming to God and unbelievers repenting of their sin. And why is it possible that non-Jews who believed couldn't even step foot in it?
Because you had to be of Jewish ethnicity to be allowed into that temple. Remember, that was under the Mosaic Code.
Right.
The Mosaic Code could not be violated by a Gentile.
Right.
See, it would make the temple unclean. Yeah, that's a whole nother message, brother. The Lord God, verse 8, the Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, other than Jews. He's talking about other ethnicities. See that? Beside those that are gathered unto him. This couldn't be any clearer, folks, that the Gentiles during the millennium will be allowed to come and pray at the millennial temple of the Lord. Fifthly, tonight, they will also be allowed certain positions of service in the millennial temple, even some in the millennial priesthood. I want to show you that. Go to Isaiah chapter 66. Yes, there will be a few, very few, Gentile priests ministering in the temple at Jerusalem during the millennium. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 66. Notice in verse 18 that the Shekinah glory of God will be visibly seen by many nations. Look at it. Verse 18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come. Come where? To Jerusalem. They're making a pilgrimage from all over the world to Jerusalem. And they shall see my what?
Glory.
He's talking about the Shekinah glory ascending over Jerusalem. And it'll be a cloud by day and fire by night. It will be visible to all the world, folks. Something else. In verse 19, he states that Gentiles who see the Shekinah glory will set out to travel to Gentiles who have not seen it, to tell them about it. Look at verse 19. And I will set a sign among them. And I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off. Why? Why is he going to send them to those nations? Those that have not heard of my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. There's going to be people, Gentiles, who will go to Jerusalem and see the Shekinah glory of God ascending. And they're going to say, wow, it's the glory of God. And they're going to go to all Gentile nations of the world telling them about it. You got to go to Jerusalem. You will not believe this, but the Shekinah glory of God is there. Amen. Verse 20 also says that at the same time, Jews will be conducted back to the Holy Land by Gentiles to the mountain of the Lord's house in order to worship the King Messiah. Look at verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren, that's Jewish brethren, for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon 777s and upon aircraft carriers and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. See, the Jews are going to be clean at this point, because they will have been washed in the blood, as you and I have been. They'll all be saved at this point. They're coming back to the Holy Land. Verse 21 states that some of these Gentiles who come to Jerusalem will be chosen to serve as priests in the temple. Look at it. Verse 21. And I will also take of them, speaking of those who are bringing the Jews back, those Gentiles, for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Verse 22 promises permanence to faithful Gentiles. Look at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make. Now, time out, church. You've got to see this. Verse 22. He just mentioned a new heavens and a new earth, which were not yet created. Chapter 66 is a what context? Millennium. It's all millennium here, folks, chapter 66. But he says there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. Not the millennial heaven and the millennial earth. That's something Jack Van Impe does not understand. That's why he thinks this earth on which we stand tonight is going to last forever. It's not. 2 Peter chapter 3 makes it clear. It'll be dissolved with fervent heat. Look what he says, verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, yeah, forever, they're permanent, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. He's talking to Gentiles, saved Gentiles during the millennium who are coming to Jerusalem. And he says they're going to be permanent. They have eternal life. Then, in verse 23, he states that these Gentiles will join Israel in temple worship of the king. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh, Jew and Gentile alike, come to worship before me, saith the Lord. You see this, folks? Something is occurring that's never happened in history. Gentiles are allowed into the temple to worship the king. Oh, this is great stuff. And then finally, in verse 24, look at, and finally, notice Gehenna, the place where unfaithful Gentiles will be visibly suffering throughout the thousand-year kingdom. Verse 24, and they shall go forth. Who's the they of verse 24? It's the Gentiles of verse 23 who are coming to worship the king. See that? And they, after they get done with their worship service, singing praise to Jesus Christ, they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses, that's dead bodies, of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Notice here, a place called Gehenna. It's going to be a lake of fire on earth where people who celebrate their 100th birthday during the millennium and who do not receive Jesus Christ will be cast alive with their boots on into that lake of fire. Okay? And he says right here that they're going to be able to see them suffering in there. Now, let me make something clear first, brother, before you ask me. The bodies will be in the lake of fire. Where will their souls be? In hell. Hell is still in the center of the earth during the millennial kingdom for the 1,000 years. So it's their bodies. Yes, brother?
So this lake of fire, it's not the eternal lake of fire.
No. No, it's not the eternal lake of fire. It's temporal. But it lasts for 1,000 years. Sixthly, tonight, the Gentiles, they will have mandatory obligation to observe one feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, throughout the 1,000 years. Go with me to Zechariah. Just before Malachi and Haggai, you'll come to Zechariah. And go with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Just before Malachi. Zechariah 14. First of all here, concerning the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 16 says that every Gentile nation will be required by kingdom law to send an official delegation to Jerusalem in order to worship the king during the Feast of Tabernacles. Look at verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone, notice that, that's Zechariah 14, 6, that's 16, 14, 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, these are the sheep that were allowed in to the kingdom, shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the what?
Feast of Tabernacles.
People, listen to me. The Feast of Tabernacles is going to be observed by Gentiles throughout the millennial kingdom. That's what the Bible says. Now, verse 17 specifically names famine as the punishment and judgment upon those who do not do it. Look at verse 17. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Now, you know what happens when a country gets no rain? They starve. They starve. Ask them over there in Ethiopia. They starve to death. That's a serious plague. So this is requisite during the millennium. Next, notice in verse 18 that Egypt is used as an example of a nation that may fail to comply with attending the Feast of Tabernacles. But why? Why does he use Egypt? Look with me in verse 18. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not. There's a reason why he's naming them. Not that they won't go up, but he's using them as an example. That have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt. Or you can put any country's name in there that doesn't go up to the Feast of Tabernacles. And the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, why does he name Egypt in verse 18 and verse 19? Think with me now. When was the Feast of Tabernacles inaugurated? when they were journeying through the wilderness in tabernacles, right? Where did they escape from?
Egypt.
Egypt! Folks, the Bible, the Lord has everything in here the way he wants it. They will, seventhly, these Gentiles will, I'm almost done. They will experience two desolate spots throughout the entire kingdom age. First, Babylon. Second, Edom. Now first realize, beloved, that during the thousand-year kingdom, all the world will become fruitful and productive, enjoying the perfect atmospheric conditions coupled with the curse being lifted. Amen? The conditions are going to be beautiful. People are going to live hundreds of years at that time. No pollution, no cancer, none of that. Now, however, the scripture makes it clear that two specific spots on earth will remain entirely desolate and uninhabited. First, there's Babylon, the former worldwide capital of who? Antichrist, right? That was the Antichrist headquarters, Babylon. That's right, in Iraq, sister. Where he had set up his world headquarters, he controlled both economic and religious activities of the entire planet. Therefore, nobody lives there. He is going to annihilate it, so like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea right now. Right. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 13. I want to show you this quickly concerning Babylon. There won't be nobody having cookouts in Babylon during this thousand-year period. And there's a reason. Chapter 13, Victor. Chapter 13, and look with me at verse 20. And it, listen, and verse 19, in Babylon, the glory of all kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me ask you a question. What was left standing in Sodom and Gomorrah after God got through with it in chapter 19 of Genesis? That's right, sister. Zero. Zero. Even Lot's wife became a pillar of salt because she looked back at it. Yeah. Bad news. Nothing breathed after God got done with it. Same thing here. It shall never be inhabited. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation. Now, something is going to be there. I want to show you what that is. It's not people. Neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there. Neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there. And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there. And satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses. And dragons in their pleasant places. And her time is near to come. And her day shall not be prolonged. Now, these beasts and dragons and satyrs, the Hebrew construction is speaking of demonic creatures. I'm going to show you that in a minute here, but go to Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 50. I want to show you what these things are that the Holy Spirit is labeling here concerning Babylon. What's going to dwell there? Oh, you're going to be amazed. In chapter 50 of Jeremiah, look with me at verse 39. Verse 39, therefore the wild beasts of the desert, speaking of Babylon, with the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there. He's saying it again. And the owls shall dwell therein. And it shall be no more inhabited by people forever. Neither shall be dwelt in from generation to generation. Yeah, millennial generations. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, Babylon. Neither shall any son of man dwell therein. Now, go with me to chapter 51, Jeremiah 51. Look with me at verse 41. How is Shishak taken? That's Babylon. And how is the praise of the whole earth, Babylon, surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment amongst the nations? He's saying, who could overthrow the greatest empire the world has ever seen? And it will be. It will be the most powerful empire ever on the history of the world. Why? The Antichrist will have how many armies of the world? All. The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. Nobody's going to be dwelling in Babylon. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 speaks of the same thing we just read. Revelation, isn't it good to know you need the whole Bible? It's one book from one spirit of God. Revelation chapter 19. Look with me at verse 3. Speaking of Babylon. And again, they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now, this is speaking about Babylon from verse 2. And it says, her smoke ascends up. Go back to Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, who?
Babylon.
It, the great, is fallen, and is become the habitation of something.
Devils.
That's demons. Listen to me, folks. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Remember those birds he was naming back in Isaiah chapter 13, chapter 14? It's demons. Now listen to me carefully. This confinement of the demons in Babylon will also, it will endure for the entire millennial kingdom. Listen, right now there are demons floating all over the place. You kind of notice that when you just turn the news on or you just walk down the street. I mean, there's demons everywhere. You know, they're right at the door right there for us to leave. But listen, folks, there's coming a day during the millennium that the demons of Satan are not going to be free like they are today. They're going to be confined to two places on the earth. And they're not going to be allowed to leave these two places. The next one is Edom. That's Jordan, Mount Seir. That's Esau. Go with me to Joel. Joel chapter 3. Just about done, folks. In Joel chapter number 3. Just before Amos. We'll get Joel chapter 3, and we'll finish up. In Joel chapter 3, verse 18, and it shall come to pass in that day, whatever day he's speaking of here, that the mountain shall drop down new wine, fruitfulness. The hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain, this is Joel 3:18, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord. We know this is the millennium. And it shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation. But Egypt, time out, folks. When it says Egypt shall be a desolation there, I don't have time to take you there, but that's only for 40 years of the millennium. For 40 years, there's a punishment upon Egypt for their treatment of Israel, but after the 40 years, it will be inhabited. Okay, there's two spots that won't. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. For the violence against the children of Judah, because they have shed innocent blood in their land. See that? Now, look here. Egypt will only be desolate for 40 years. But Edom, that's Jordan, and Babylon, that's Iraq, will be desolate without inhabitant for the entire 1,000 years. Now, notice the reason for Edom's destruction and desolation in verse 19. For her treatment against the children of Judah. All right. Isaiah 34. Back to Isaiah 34. We're going to tie all this together now. Gentiles in the millennium. In Isaiah chapter 34. Look with me at verse number 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. What day is that? Is vengeance being poured out? What day is that? The what?
Tribulation
period. That's the end of the great tribulation. The day of the Lord's vengeance. This gives us the reason for Edom's desolation. Look at verse 9. The streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. It'll become like a fire. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. And he's speaking about the context is verse 6, the land of Idumea. That's Edom. That's Jordan. And he's saying it's going to become a lake of fire. Now, this describes its continual burning throughout the millennium. Verse 11 shows that demons will inhabit it. Look at verse 11. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it. And he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. That's a nasty description right there. Verse 12 states that no human beings will live there throughout the 1,000 years. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. Verse 13 describes animals that we know cannot survive in burning pitch and brimstone, revealing that these beasts are not physical, but spiritual. Look at it. Verse 13. The thorn shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses. It shall be an habitation of dragons, a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, the satyr, the screech owl. There shall be the great owl make her nest and gather under her shell. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Now, the Hebrew construction here concerning these beasts and satyrs and dragons, listen, it means night demons, I'm quoting, night demons and wild goats, meaning demons in goat form. Demons in goat form. What's he saying? He's saying that during the 1,000 years, all of the demons will be confined to Babylon and Edom. Okay? No people will live there, but it'll be full of demons. Could you imagine walking through there in a dark night? You better be saved. Yeah, man. Next, go to Jeremiah 49. That's right, even in the daytime, man. Jeremiah 49. I don't want to go anywhere near that place.
Why aren't there more people fearful of the Lord?
I know. They don't believe this book. Chapter 49. Look at verse 17. Jeremiah 49, 17. Also Edom shall be a desolation. There it is again. Everyone that goeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss at all the plagues thereof. And as in the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, no man shall abide there, neither shall the son of man dwell in it. How many times have we read this? I think God means what he says. Notice here that Edom's judgment is compared to that of Sodom and Gomorrah, same as Babylon's. Now the reason for Edom's total annihilation is clearly revealed in Ezekiel 35. Ezekiel 35. Let's finish up. Seems like I keep saying that. I'm making up for Sunday church. Ezekiel 35. Look at verse number 10. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine. Now he's speaking about Edom, Esau. And the two nations he's talking about is Israel and Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms of it, the Jews, shall be mine, and we will possess it. Whereas the Lord was there. Got bad news for you, boys. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger and according to thine envy, which thou usest out of thy hatred against them, the Jews. And I will make myself known among them, the Jews, when I have judged thee, Edom. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given to us to consume. Wrong. Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me, and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. Wow! God hears what we say. Amen? Yeah. Edom rejoiced over the fall of the northern kingdom, Israel, when the Assyrians took her captive, and she rejoiced over the southern kingdom, Judah's fall, when Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, took him captive. Verse 14 states that while the whole earth rejoices, Edom will remain a desolation. Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, millennium, I will make thee desolate. And finally, verse 15 declares that the calamities that fell upon Israel will now fall upon Edom more severely, and that they will never recover from them again. Verse 15, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, that's in Edom, and all Idumea, that's Jordan, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Finally, in closing, beloved, while the whole world is beautified and blossoming as the rose, the two areas of Babylon and Edom, that's Iraq and Jordan, will be a place of continual burning pitch and brimstone, and their smoke will rise up to be visible for the entire 1,000-year millennium. Now, while Satan himself will be confined to the abyss, the bottomless pit, throughout the kingdom age, yet all of his demons will be confined to these two areas on the earth. So finally, men cannot any longer use the excuse that the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Beloved, this concludes our 16th week examination of the coming millennial kingdom and the Gentiles in it. Next week, we will look briefly at the aftermath of the kingdom age. What's going to happen after the 1,000 years? It'll be fascinating. Father in heaven, thank you tonight for this study of the Gentiles during the millennium. Thank you tonight for one thing, that Jesus Christ will rule and reign the universe from Jerusalem during that 1,000 years. Lord, we have such peace tonight in knowing that our King is the eternal victor of the universe. Lord, you've never lost a battle, and you never will, and we belong to thee. We love you tonight, and we thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. People, let's grab our hymnals. We'll close with a song. let's stand for our final hymn tonight. That would be 174. Hymn 174. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. Oh, what a day that's going to be, beloved. Going to be phenomenal. 174. Oh, yeah.
It's a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me on the second. It tells me all the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea.
Amen!
And oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me on the fourth. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below.
Everybody!
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he
love me. Glory to God. Great singing tonight, church. What a blessing to be in God's house on a Wednesday night. Amen. And to know that that kingdom is coming. Brother Mike, dismiss us in prayer, brother.
Lord, we thank you for the time we have. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings you give us. We thank you, Lord, for just taking care of our needs, Lord, and just watching all of us. We pray now that you bless each one as we go about business, and we pray that you just guide us and direct us.
Amen.